Hello, welcome to the Thursday, February 13th, 2014 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. But let's start with a quick update on the Linksys compromises we talked about yesterday. No definite answer on this yet. We certainly had a number of reports where people did see hits to the HNAP one URL, even against the random web servers that weren't necessarily Linksys devices. Now, HNAP is a feature that's built into a lot of modern home routers, and essentially what it's for is to allow, for example, ISPs and such to manage these devices. By default, when you connect to that URL, you should get a little XML snippet that will tell you things like firmware versions and such. But then, of course, once you authenticate, there are also features that allow you to manage and change configurations of the device. HNAP itself had vulnerabilities in the past. However, it could also, in this case, just be used to retrieve a quick firmware version summary or such to see what a particular exploit this device is vulnerable to. The big difference in the behavior that was observed here compared to other prior mass exploits of these devices was that in the past, usually the attacker changed the configuration, like for example, the DNS server setting. But here, apparently, the attacker is actually running code on the device itself to then look for other vulnerable devices. And we certainly have seen now a number of the devices that did experience this particular behavior. Just resetting the device will stop the scanning, so it looks like whatever is running is just running in memory, maybe some kind of remote command execution vulnerability, but it's not actually altering the firmware. So all you have to do if a device is infected is just to reboot it. Now, this of course will then still leave it open to reinfection. The latest version, again, 2006, is not vulnerable. But well, let's see what we have in other news. And the one item here that caught my eye was a new version of Spam Assassin, now with IPv6 support. IPv6 and spam has long been a little bit of a headache of mine. If you do have a mail server that does support IPv6, you probably have already been seeing quite a bit of spam over IPv6, and there wasn't really any great filter for it available. Now, Spam Assassin does now support IPv6. They also made some other changes, for example, eDNS0, which allows for larger DNS responses. Make sure your firewall actually supports that. There are still some firewalls that may break DNS if you're using eDNS0. And kind of as a postscript to Patch Tuesday, we also have an update from Apple. It does resolve a problem with Bootcamp. So if you're using Bootcamp, you may want to update it. But other than that, there isn't really anything to do for the rest of the OS X users. And Facebook fixed an interesting cross-site request forging vulnerability in Instagram. Instagram was purchased by Facebook, of course, a while ago. And in this case, the researcher who found this vulnerability found it by looking at the mobile application and the API it uses. The API for the mobile application didn't prevent cross-site request forging. Now, usually that's not so easy to exploit because you can't easily trick the mobile application into sending a request. But as it turns out, it was possible to use the same application, the same API, via a normal web browser. So an attacker could exploit the cross-site request forging vulnerability against the mobile application API using a regular web browser. This, of course, was, as the author here pointed out, a little bit tricky to fix for Facebook, because the applications already out in the field do rely on the current API, and you can't easily deprecate or turn off an old API without swapping out all the clients. However, one thing that can be done here is to actually check whether the connection comes from a local, from a mobile client. You can't easily, in cross-site request forging exploits, fake the user agent. Well, too bad, the mobile applications didn't really set a special user agent. So what Facebook had to do is, if a request appears to come from a mobile application, they will then use a CAPTCHA to prevent cross-site request forging, which of course isn't great from a user perspective. And I guess they still have in the future the ability to upgrade the applications that are out in the field to send some kind of anti-cross-site request forging token. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.